So the fall is solidly here, and lots of organizations like NPR and churches will soon start their pledge drives. And we'll do that. We're going to start in a couple of weeks. And so over the next 3 weeks, I want to preach three sermons that are using the text of the day that we're given to lean into stewardship, the foundations of what it is and how it becomes active in our lives. Starting with the word stewardship itself, that's really important. What we mean when we say steward came out in the epistle reading from a couple of weeks ago in 1 Timothy, where the author says, we didn't bring anything into this world, and we will not take anything out of it. The implication is that while we're here, the resources that we have, we get to move around and make more of them, but not just for ourselves, but for the blessing of the whole. So, as stewards, we listen in on what's happening here. Today, there's this wonderful story of Jesus healing of the 10 lepers. It's a story about 10, but really it's a story about one, and it's a story about gratitude, maybe the first foundation stone of stewardship. It's this one leper that comes back to Jesus and says, thank you. And as he comes back to Jesus with his gratitude, Jesus sees something happening in him that is greater than health. Notice in the story how it's told, your faith has made you well. All 10 are healed. One is made well. And centuries later, we're just starting to come to terms with how health is more than physical prowess, that wellness is a deeper picture, and that gratitude, the link between gratitude and health, gratitude and wellness, is incredibly important, that it unlocks healing in the body and the mind, that almost makes it like a superpower, another one of our human abilities to become more than we are through this little key piece of our lives called gratitude. And gratitude, I would say, is really just this quality of active noticing. So, long ago, it feels like now, when I was much younger, I lived in San Francisco and worked in a church called St. Gregory of Nyssa over on Potrero Hill. And St. Gregory's was a lot like St. Paul's in that they would have said, too, that we do church differently. And at St. Gregory's, they received the offering after the Eucharist instead of before to make this clear statement that we give as we have received. And preceding this this practice every Sunday, receiving the offering, there was a little speech that one of the deacons would make, which went verbatim, seeing how greatly God loves us, let us share freely of the gifts that we have received. If this is your first Sunday at St. Gregory's, be St. Gregory's guest and Jesus' guest and watch the plate go by. And then spend the week noticing how God blesses you. And then come back and make your gift then. And the whole church gives thanks for all the ways that God blesses you. Every week, we heard that little mini stewardship sermon, just that note reminding us to unlock our superpower and to just notice. Notice the goodness in our lives. Notice the godness in our lives. And then respond. Then do what comes naturally. I think that may be the spiritual foundation of all our giving. Noticing that abundance in our lives, just noticing it, creates gratitude, which creates more abundance. That it just unlocks this exponential growth that ripples out. Something that is, you know, notice that the 10 lepers and one leper, that's 10%. That 10% is much bigger. It ripples out and out and out and out. And maybe we can bring that to our stewardship this fall as we talk about it. Listen, to take this this crucial pause, just notice how God has carried us, how God has provided for us, how God has kept us. And just let that grateful noticing start to become the blessing, to start opening up into that faith that makes us well. I love the way that this parable is paired with the story from Naaman today in the Hebrew Scriptures, story about Naaman, this Syrian general who comes to the prophet and comes for healing. There's this great detail in the middle of the story. The prophet doesn't come out. He's like furious as he's given his task for healing. Well, at least I expected some hand waving and something exotic. And the servant says, all right, if he had asked you to do something hard, you would have done it with gusto. This is easy. Why not just do what's easy and see what happens? I admit that I identify with Naaman more times than I would like, that I make something easy hard. I make gratitude not easy, but hard. And that if I'm really honest, it's not that gratitude is so hard. It's just that I don't want it. I don't want to do it. I would rather compare myself to you. You know, see what I have and see what you have. Or this is what it should be. Or this is what it was. And sometimes it just feels good to sulk, to sit in that complaint. You know, that this feels good sometimes. But it's not really what I want. It's not really what I hope for. And it makes it just so much more ironic that the very thing that is the wellness, the deep healing, is right there in front of me for the noticing. So easy to access. So together, these two stories invite me, maybe you, into this different space, creative and imaginal space. What if that's creative imaginal space? Seeing it differently than we've seen it so far. What if gratitude is our natural state? What if we've been habituated to see the world through scarcity lenses, but that we're really hardwired for gratitude and blessing? When we do one, the other happens. What if we decided to just take the easy way and notice the good things and let that lead us to more? It is a struggle. I'm not saying it's not. In fact, again, from the story of the 10 lepers, there's something so poignant in this line that the one who comes back to Jesus is a Samaritan. And the thing that's revealing there is that actually, unlike the other nine, he really can't go back to the temple and show himself to the priest. He's not welcome there. He's an outsider, second class. So he kind of comes back to Jesus with his gratitude. This is the only religion he's got now. And while religion won't accept him, Jesus does. And getting that, rooting that, and rooting in his gratitude, that is what makes him well. I'm thinking back to last year, how we identified when we sat down. Remember the September 18th meeting about 8 years ago, last year, to start to collect our sense of values and goals, to kind of create this energy of like, let's do something together. And one of the things that came up strongly was St. Paul's deep DNA around healing. that so many of us felt like Samaritans, cut off from religion by its rules, but hungry for wholeness. And we found that here, and found it in a way that made us fiercely committed to making that always available for others, that anyone and everyone would receive that same sense of welcome. That is something worth stewarding, standing for. It's a story of gratitude here that becomes generous, that makes more of itself, that makes us all well. So as we now step into this extended conversation around stewardship, it starts from gratitude, which is a practice, and it's a daily practice. So I encourage you to enter this week just taking the pause, watching your life this week, taking some moments to notice the ways that God is blessing you, and then come back next week. Make your gift. And we'll talk about another foundation stone of our giving, what roots us and brings us together as community, shapes us, makes our lives truly rich, and makes us well. And together, in community, the whole church gives thanks for all the ways God is blessing you. Amen.